I think this has turned out to be a particularly relevant topic with some of the trends we've seen this year. And you might be thinking it's a little strange to see something labeled as a 101, and it's not part of the fundamentals track. It's part of the main conference. And I think that's because, you know, this is a fairly fundamental concept if you're dealing with any of the visa types that involve prevailing wages. But I think it's a complex topic, and it's one that even experienced attorneys get tripped up by from time to time. So as far as what the prevailing wage is, you know, there's not a nice, concise definition in the regulations, but the concept's pretty straightforward. You know, it's the amount paid by other employers in the local area for positions within the same occupation that require an equivalent level of education and experience. You know, and it's easy to see why the government would have an interest in this in terms of keeping, you know, unscrupulous employers from driving down U.S. workers' wages. So.
Yep. All right. So when do you need a prevailing wage? You know, it's gonna vary. There's different times in the immigration process. In the non-immigrant, you're going to see it a lot in the specialty occupation classifications, like the H-1B and the E-3. In that situation, the employer is required to pay the higher of the prevailing wage or the actual wage that it pays other similarly situated employees. Now, during, you know, the specialty occupation visas, the employer has to complete an LCA, labor condition application, where they're going to be making certain attestations, including the wage that needs to be paid. And during that process, they can go ahead and make that decision, you know, on their own. They can calculate it and include that information, or they can do a formal prevailing wage determination with the Department of Labor, where they provide the Department of Labor the job information.